Olay, which is one of the most successful skincare brands globally, like a woman would buy 1.7 bottles a year. If you are a skincare brand and you're selling 3 bottles a year per consumer, I think you're doing damn good. We are 3 men from IITs, in the beauty business.
What is it with men from IITs building beauty company? I think there's another one, Sanfi, I think.
You know, like, we do more orders in Trivandrum than we do in Bombay.
What are you saying?
There are many pin codes in the country where Purple's penetration is significantly higher than big FMCG brands' penetration at a household level is. And our lipstick volume on day one went up 8 times. We had just not predicted this. So we started with one store last year, Diwali. We now are 42 stores. I think we will want to be the number one beauty company in the country. We took long time to bloom. I think 2017 is when we started really taking off. And then COVID happened.
Is there a moment during the podcast that you go? Mm-hmm. Chal, let's roll. Start. Manish, welcome to the Barber Shop. Thank you so much for coming. We've admired you from a distance for all of our 9 years at Bombay Shaving Company, and so thrilled to get an opportunity to have a conversation with you on the amazing company you've built, the way you have kind of executed. We of course share common investors, and we operate in the same ecosystem. But the reputation that you, your founders, your operating team have built over the last now 13 years, is just pristine. So I'm so happy to have you. Welcome to the Barbershop.
Thank you.
Manish, you came in and the first thing you said is that this office has a very different vibe from the Purple office. And you clearly, I'm sure you walk into a lot of consumer brand offices, startup founder offices, etc. But tell me a little bit about your, 13 years is a long time. It's 2 cycles, right? And you've seen like 3 founders or a small team of 5, and now you have a large team of 600. But how do you think about building culture? How do you think about building an office space? And what have you seen outside of Purple? How do you think about it at Purple?
Look, I haven't seen much outside of Purple. I am not someone who travels a lot. But I think there are 2 core values that we live by. When you enter our office, you will see them. Brightly lit in hot pink colors. The first one is be humble. The second one is be hungry. You know, I think just those 2. I mean, there could be many around it. But I think if I were to tell you in short, I think these are 2 things. We will like to be nice to you when you're not having a good time. We will be super hungry about what we want to achieve. So like you mentioned that you would like to be the number one razor brand in the country. I think we will want to be the number one beauty company in the country. I think today we are probably 10% of the largest beauty company in the country. Perhaps you are 25% of the biggest razor brand in the country.
20% or so.
Yeah, 20%. So I think ambitions are huge. I think if we can grow by 20-22% a year for the next 12-13 years, and competition grows at 7-8%, which is how usually FMCG companies grow at, I think we have a shot at that. And I think, as I mentioned, humility is a key trait. So, I've been living in Bombay for 17-18 years. I think Bombay has grown on us. So joined, went to Bombay in 2007 post-college in Delhi. Ever since I've just enjoyed being in Bombay. You know, Bombay is a city which humbles you like probably no other city does. It's a city where, people have enormous wealth, but they just don't show it off.
You can't make out.
You can't make out, right? How wealthy this person would be. So, and maybe that was our growing up value systems at home as well. So, we try to be nice to as many people as we can be. We don't try to tell them who we are. We've been a little bit of a media shy company by choice, also probably by character of the founders. So
all of you like that a little bit, because be humble, be hungry sounds like sounds like you.
Uh-huh. So all three of us are very similar. Like we don't have cabins for anybody at office. It was a conscious choice. We had told our employees very early on that we will make our money post you guys make your money. So no secondaries for us ever before you guys get all what you wanted to get out of it. So we just did a 50 crore ESOP buyback.
Well done.
Last year in September at a 5% higher price than everybody else who sold, right, for our employees. I just convinced the buyers to say, look, this is for our employees, so can you please buy it at a slightly higher price?
And you had to I'm sure for the buyers, you would have had to blend a bunch
of
things.
No, there was no blending. This was a small component okay. of a 1,500 crore round.
Correct.
Out of which 1,360 was secondary. So out of 1,360, only 50 was ESOP buyback, so it won't materially change anything.
Correct.
Once that was done, then, you know, if there was any secondary left, you know, if you know, founders would do it. You know, so we've been like, I would say we like to be super nice to our suppliers. This happened in COVID when, you know, lots of firms had placed orders with contract manufacturers and everybody like paused. And there was like inventory sitting at the contract manufacturers, which was not being picked up. And we decided to give advances to these guys because they were under severe financial stress.
Yeah.
And it's not like we were being like overtly nice to people. You know, with God's grace, we had just raised 220 crores like 3 months before COVID happened.
Wow.
So we were super lucky. And I think we've been very lucky. It feels like a long journey, but I think God's been very kind. Before COVID wave two happened, we raised 1,100 crores. you know, I just think it's been a lot of, like, I'm sure it's been a lot of hard work, but it's been a lot of luck as well. So we decided to give advances to these guys because we thought we will pick up inventory at some point in time in future. And, we had to continuously tell our employees that there are no layoffs, there are no salary cuts because we were sitting on a lot of money and our cost structure was very small. So it didn't make any sense. You know, that's how it's been. I think it's worked to our advantage. So like when we started the conversation, you mentioned that the kind of credibility we have, or you mentioned this word pristine. I don't think it's pristine, but yes, we have good credibility. You know, I think people like to work with us. People know that we are there for long term. We will not like go up and then severely down and then go up again. We are like gradual go up, up, up types. Yeah, look, so it's been like a fascinating journey for the last 13 years, but I think humility has played its part. So I'll give you another example. We bought this brand in COVID. It's called Carmizzi.
Yeah, Carmizzi is a very highly discussed brand in our teams.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, I had never met the founders of Carmizzi before. I reached out to them during COVID days. They were in Gurgaon. I was in Bombay. I had never met them. I have only met them on Google Meet. And in we have done 3 acquisitions so far. In each of the 3 acquisitions, we ended up wiring an advance to them because they really needed that money to be in good shape when we would have completed the acquisition.
Their liabilities and so on, and they wanted to. That's such an important thing.
Like now, we could have lost that money if the deal didn't go through.
Yeah.
But luckily, in all 3 of them, we have like they've worked beautifully well for us. So we've done Carmizzi. We bought Faces Canada, which has grown, I think, 3x in 3 years, from a loss-making to profitable brand.
Wow. This is Sequoia. Kunal was the CEO, right? Or is the CEO?
Kunal was the CEO, and we bought a beautiful content company called Glamours. So these three, have been quite beautiful for us.
It takes a humble person to recognize the role of luck in a very successful story. Genuinely, and I think. That's something that even for us, for example, feet on the ground, eyes on the stars, it's got a sense of humility in it. It's not something that personally...
But I think it's absolutely the same thing. I think eyes on the stars is hunger
yeah.
and feet on the ground is humility.
It's a different, it's a different articulation of the same sentiment.
Yeah.
I agree. But yeah, I think, how did it feel when employees made secondaries and you saw it kind of culminating in home loans being paid out or someone buying a nice car or someone being able to get a sibling married in a good way, etc. Like, as a founder, at least for me, that's always, like, we've had 3 last 3 funding rounds have had secondaries for our teams. And it's always good to see people level up at home in their own way.
You know, I'll tell you what I've observed in the last 13 years. Like you mentioned, it's been two cycles or whatever, how many cycles it's been. I just think that all these funding rounds are like milestones. And, you know, we as founders are not very celebratory types. So, ek ghante ki khushi hoti hai, fir you get back to your normal stuff. So, look, you feel happy. You felt happy that 50 crores of secondary was paid to to employees. But, theek hai, ek ghante baad, you know, we were back to our desks and working. So, I have not been able to, like, I don't get any happiness when a round happens. I just feel a sense of relief when a round happens.
Yeah.
It's always been just, thank God, khatam hua. You know, like, let's go back to work.
Yeah, cash is, many people don't realize how much of an oxygen effect cash has on a business. It is the oxygen for a business. So whether it's equity capital, you know, you borrow money, whatever, or you kind of collect advances, like that was the oxygen you gave your suppliers at that time.
Yeah.
But it is the oxygen that runs businesses. And I think it kind of puts you back on track. It refuels your car so that you can kind of drive it in the best possible way.
Yeah, but look, I have just not been, like, it's not like I feel happy that day. I just feel relieved. Ki, chalo, khatam hua.
That's because I'm assuming that like large amounts of money come with like heavy and intense diligences and negotiations. And I think the relief is more of a, chalo, khatam ho gaya. But I'm sure, you know, the fact that the company is capitalized, people are richer, you know, you have like the baseline has now moved significantly. That makes, like, because I think the point of vision is, of course, to reach there, but also to look back on where you came from and pat yourself on the back for having done something that was always against the odds in a way, right?
But, you know, I think I think every 2-3 years we set our sights on the next ambition. So somehow I haven't spent much time looking back. Like, utna socha nahi hai.
Interesting.
लोगों को ऐसा लगता है बाहर से कि बहुत अच्छा कर लिया मचा दिया थोड़ा सा लाइक बट यू नो आई थिंक लाइक आई फील लाइक 2035 में जो करना है उसके लिए अगले साल राइट डायरेक्शन लिया कि नहीं लिया राइट एक्शंस लिए कि नहीं लिए सो दैट्स व्हाट आई एम फोकस्ड ऑन दैट्स व्हाट आई थिंक ऑल द एंटायर टॉप टीम इज फोकस्ड ऑन वन ऑफ द अदर थिंग्स दैट वी हैव डन वंडरफुली टू get a buy-in from our leadership team and many other middle management team also, is that we had this policy where you could contribute your salary to buying our shares. And if you stayed with the firm for a certain number of years, we would give it 1+1 free.
Wow, so it's a 50% discount basically. It's,
but only if you stay for a certain number of years.
So the discount also vests in a way.
And, you know, I was surprised that there were a lot of people who committed 100% of their salary.
What are you saying?
Yeah.
How were they living then?
They had other savings. Maybe their spouses were working and so on and so forth. So for 2-3 years on the row, I was very disturbed also. you know, this is too much responsibility coming your way. But that's been the case for the last 3 years. I will see it now this year in April, how it plays out. We do it every year in April or after our appraisal season. So
wow. That is incredible. Tell me a little bit about the story. Like, one is I want to cover the funding story, but I also want to cover the growth of the business, and maybe we can talk about both. But what you started off as, and who you are a 1500 crore company today. You have your own brands. You're also a marketplace. you clearly, you know, have omni-channel distribution. I'm sure it's kind of weighted in online, but paint a picture for what Purple started out. What was the market you looked at? I love that you're saying, you know, we want to be India's biggest beauty company. So was that the vision when you started versus has it evolved to what it is today? What the business looks like today? And then how have you raised capital to kind of fuel that business? It would be great to get a sense.
Rahul, Suyash and I are three co-founders. So we are three men from IITs, you know, in the beauty business.
With men from IITs building beauty company? I think there's another one, Sanfi, I think, which is much younger.
Much younger.
So they got out of college and built it.
Look, I think the way we built this company initially was using a lot of data, continue to be like leading with it.
So what was it like when you started? Like, was it a marketplace?
Or? Yeah, so we were a marketplace. We started as a marketplace for beauty products.
Around the same time Nykaa or like slightly younger than Nykaa?
Around the same time, maybe 2 months earlier.
Okay.
We were focused. So Rahul, Suyash and I all came from, like I would say, tier two cities in India. So I grew up in Faridabad. Suyash grew up somewhere in Durg. And Rahul grew up in Cuttack and Angul in Odisha. And so we kind of thought, you know, this audience, which is middle class of India, let's say household income of 5 lakhs to 25 lakhs a year, you know, doesn't have access to great beauty assortment. Can we build a company? Can we reach out to these consumers and tell them that we care about you? And we will continuously build products and services that serve you, you know, because you were consuming the same content on YouTube and more recently on Instagram. But perhaps you couldn't afford all these super premium products that were available in India. So we relate to this audience very well. We grew up in these households. All these households still like to drive Maruti, you know. So my parents drive Maruti. So that was the vision. We also knew that this could only happen online first, because India did not at that point in time have the density to absorb so many retail stores. Plus, we didn't have anything new to bring to retail stores in 2012.
Correct.
And there was already, you know, the likes of Shopper Stop, Lifestyle, and some of these guys doing beauty at that point in time. So we started as
2012. 2012 feels recent, but it's ages back.
Yeah, it's quite back. You know, I'll give you an example. So there was no Shopify. You had to build your websites on your own.
Yeah.
There were no payment aggregators. So yeah. there was EBS as a payment aggregator. Yeah. And, you know, you had to go to each bank to and get approval from them to accept net banking payments. There was no UPI.
Yeah.
Credit card penetration in India was very, very low. Trust with e-commerce was very, very low. So, yes, it was a long time back.
Yeah.
It was a desktop era.
Yeah.
There was like, I think 3G was just trickling in.
Yeah.
It was the BlackBerry era.
Yeah.
So 2011 was BlackBerry era. I remember I used to have BlackBerry Bold. So yeah, look, it was that era.
Yeah.
It was Nokia era.
Yeah.
You know, there was like iPhone had just come. It was way too expensive for India. Android wasn't there much. So
95-98% of online shopping was on desktop at that time.
Yeah. So we started with that.
But the vision was the same, that we want to build India's largest beauty company with a focus on tier 2, tier 3 customers.
You know, when we started, that was not the case. I think we gave ourselves 3 years. Mm-hmm. We said, 3 years fight maarke dekhte hain. Kuch acha ban jayega toh we'll continue with it.
Lekin,
otherwise, you know, but like, aisa koi bold vision leke nahi shuru hote. We are also not that kind of people. We'll not say it out to people without doing it already.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, we are a little bit like, haan, dikh raha hai. अब कर लेते बता देते हैं बट वी वॉन्ट स्टिक आर नेक आउट इनिशियली एंड से यू नो वी कैन डू इट टूडे वी कैन स्टिक आउट आर नेक एंड से या वी वॉन्ट टू बी द बिगेस्ट ब्यूटी कंपनी एंड इफ वी फेल इन दैट एंडेवर फाइन ओके बट आई डोंट थिंक वी हैड द सेम गम्शन सेम करेज इन 2011-2012
विच इज वेरी डिफरेंट फ्रॉम वॉट people say about founders being visionary, having a day zero vision, they want to reimagine everything and all.
We were not like this. Okay, maybe some founders are, we were not like this. And then, you know, along the way, because we were very data led, but we took long time to bloom. So, you know, I think 2017 is when we started really taking off. I think till then we were like a less differentiated company. So 2017, what happened was...
And from 2012 to 2017, were you a marketplace where you would have...
Yeah, all kinds of products. Yeah,
okay.
But you know, in 2015, 2016, because we were data led, we started collecting explicitly data about our consumers. We used to ask them, tell us about your beauty profile. You know, so some, like there were 5 million women who had given us their data, like, you know, clicking on images. So somebody would tell us, hey, I have acne and oily skin. I have acne and dry skin. I have, you know, I'm looking to get red colored mascara for all you care. Right? So, and we used to realize that way back in 2015-16, there were no D2C brands in the country in this space. So what we were selling is broadly like larger FMCG brands, which were more meant for the offline world. So they did not used to offer the assortment that we were looking for, right? So, you know, 2017, we were sitting on this beautiful gold mine of data. It was telling us what products consumers would love to buy, at what price points, with what features, with what ingredients. But nobody was making it. You know, initially we tried to monetize this data. So we went to the largest FMCG company in the country and we told them, hey, we are sitting on this beautiful data. I think it can be massive for you. You know, would you like to use it? But I don't think we had the credibility then to say, you know, hey, you guys already work with Nielsen. Nielsen would be providing you great data. So what's the point of having this data? But look, this was primary data. Like this was like consumers were telling us, right?
Correct.
We were also not very confident in our sales pitch because we hadn't seen it turn into gold, right? We were just hoping that this would be gold. So in 2017, we started our first project where we said, you know, why don't we use this data and create some products and see how it plays out.
Yeah, yourselves.
Ourselves, right? So first time, you know, went to contract manufacturers, requested them for a very low MOQ to try it. We only had 50 lakhs of cash balance in the bank in
2017. How big was Purple at that time?
Purple was, so all of 2017, we were 50 crores of revenue.
As a marketplace. 48
crores, yeah, total revenue. Yeah. Total sales to consumers. Ah. Our marketplace revenue would have been like 13 crores, right? So,
Small company at that
very
time.
Very small company and 50 lakhs of cash in the bank. Like just 50 lakhs.
And how, who had
maybe,
funded
maybe
you for
maybe 1.5 crores of receivables, but just 50 lakhs of cash in the
bank. Who had funded you till that point in time?
So,
for 5 years?
So early days, some angel investors had funded us. We have some common investors.
Kabir.
Kabir, Nikhil Vora, you know. Bloom had invested very early on. They've backed us like we've not backed ourselves. You know, like when a VC fund passed on us, you know, the kind of messages Karthik would write to them, I did not have the gumption to write to them.
Really?
Yeah, he's been like an amazing backer for like 13 years. They've been doubling down on us. Like in the latest round, I think Bloom did 200 crores of investment into Google.
That's crazy.
We are obviously a like significant more than a fund returner to them also. So we got 1 crore in 2013 from them. If they were to sell today, they would make 150 crores on that 1 crore. So, but they have not sold anything. Then Ivy Cap invested in us. So I think these were all first time funds. Then we had JSW Ventures invest in us 6 to 8 crores in 2016. And that was the last money left in the bank of 50 lakhs. That was my last shot. And then we used this data to create our own products.
What are the first one?
So we created a scrub, we created a face wash, we created, and then, you know, it had moderate success, but gave us some feeling ki chal jayega.
Kar sakte hain.
Then I'll tell you, we launched we launched lipsticks in Jan of 2018 and we priced it very sweetly. It was a very high quality product priced at that price. And our lipstick volume on day one went up 8 times. We had just not predicted this.
Wow.
So, you know, we went out of stock in 2 days because also I had requested these people to make small volumes for me. Then I think the second product we launched was a concealer. Our concealer volume went up some 100, 200x and we just went out of stock in 2 days. And I didn't have working capital, but look, there was proof now. So I think we borrowed money at some high interest rate from a few people and we started using that money for working capital. But look, we were making very high ROI on that capital. So even if we were paying 2.5%, 3% interest rate per month, we were still
making
incremental ROI on it. So it was still worth it. And then, you know, 2019 September. So 2018, we grew by more than 100%. We became profitable because own brands took off.
So then that became like 100, 120 crore?
110 crores.
Okay. Of which then, own brands was?
Small part, probably 20 crores.
That's still sizable. 20% of business now coming from your own brand is now retailers start thinking, okay, cool. This is where my profit pool can be built out.
Profit pool and differentiation pool. You know, like otherwise, like I couldn't compete with horizontals on pricing because they could out-compete me on discounting.
Correct.
I couldn't compete with them on speed because I didn't have my own delivery fleet. So I had to compete on assortment.
Correct.
You know, and getting the right assortment to the consumer was the most important objective.
Mm.
And, you know, data proved to be gold. You know, like, it still continues to do extremely well from our ability to analyze data today is like 10x of what it was in 2018. And I'll give you a glimpse of what it is. But, so 2018, we grew 100%. 2019 also, we grew 100%.
Wow. Right? It's now 200 like, crore business.
Yeah, 200 crore business. And that's when, So Jan of 2019, Goldman met us and they gave us a term sheet in a week. Okay.
Wow.
I couldn't believe it.
How much had you raised till that point of time total?
Very small amount. You know, I think 25, 28 crores.
Total.
And this was a 210 crore term sheet. Wow. It came in 1 week. Okay. I couldn't believe it. So I think I met them on 25th June and they said, we will give you a term sheet on 2nd July. And look, this didn't feel real because I had been like 7-8 years, I had raised 25 crores. Right? So I said, I want to like be sure. So I flew to Hong Kong and met the two co-heads of the private equity business. I still remember their names. They are no longer, one of them is probably still with Goldman. The other one is not. And very nervous kid, you know, red eye flight to Hong Kong, very small 8x8 hotel room. And I went to Hong Kong and, you know, touch wood, it was real. So, and then, you know, Goldman being like a very, like it's a very large US SEC governed brand, a bank. So they had their diligence things, which were significantly stricter than what any VC fund would have. But look, so be it. I think once the financial decision is done, I think rest of it can fall into place. Yeah. And then alongside, you know, World Invest joined hands. So early years from an institution point of view, Bloom, Ivy Cap, JSW, all of like JSW has exited, I think made 20-25x. Ivy Cap exited, made 22x. So we got 15 crores from them. We returned 330 crores to them. Wow. Offered 236 crore fund. So we returned 1.4 times the fund. You know, I don't think we'll be able to do this to later investors because the amount of money coming in is large. And so look, World Invest and Goldman came together and they invested and then COVID happened. Mm. And
what happened to the business? This was like 250 crores of business, of which how much was your own brand? How much was others?
You know, maybe 20 odd percent own brands, 25%, because we were just growing quite rapidly on the back of this. And then COVID happened and then everything shut down. And then, you know, once COVID receded and we started bouncing back, we started growing again. So from 200 crores in 2019 or FY20, you know, we would be about 1600 crores this year in FY25.
Wow. And of that, how much is your own?
So today, you know, after that, we also started looking at buying brands. Mm. Because supply side assortment differentiation was a key theme for us. So the first brand we bought was Karmeezy. Mm-hmm. Actually, before that, in 2017, I had bought a very small brand. This was more like an acqui-hire, a nail polish brand called Steakworky. The founder of Steakworky works with us.
Still, 8 years in.
And I've known him for 10 years and he leads our marketing.
That's amazing. You sound like a good marketer. Steakworky is a cool name.
Yeah. And then so 2020, we acquired Karmeezy against everybody else's advice because it was in the fem hygiene category. It's a category where like the largest company has 70% market share. We just said to ourselves, ki hum nahi try karenge, toh kaun try karega? So, you know, let's give it a shot. Like perhaps you tried in razors, which I think is equally hard. Then, you know, this happened in December 2020 without meeting them personally. We finally, like they got married 1 month after our deal got closed and then moved to Bombay 2-3 months later.
And they continue to run the business.
Yeah, they continue to run the business.
And what incentivizes founders to continue to run the business as operators who are employed by you?
You know, I think they would probably answer this better. I think one is, I think they were just inherently nice people. They are inherently nice people. We only like to do deals with inherently nice people. We have a way to, like, I have this sense of judging this. It shows up in conversations, so on and so forth. I think, too, they continue to do larger responsibilities at Purple apart from running Karmeezy today.
Wonderful.
So, Tanvi, who's the founder of Karmeezy, now leads Purple brand. So, all stuff that you will see at Purple stores from a branding point of view, our LinkedIn, you know, gradually, you know, changing the app colors and everything on the app will go through Tanvi. Rikshav, her husband and her co-founder in Karmeezy, he leads inventory planning at Purple. He's the numbers guy.
Wow.
And it's a massive opportunity on the inventory side because
for even outside of Karmeezy,
of course, for entire purposes,
that's incredible.
Yeah.
So you found like two people to not only take a brand from 2 crores to whatever 80-100 crores, but also like be amazing value add to you at a leadership level also.
I mean, look, I hope it continues this way Then we bought Faces Canada, which was a VC-owned brand. Sequoia owned 95% of it.
It had gone up and down like for a while.
Yeah, look, it has been like this. I think when we bought it, it was 15, 16 years old in India, the brand, and it was still small. It had made a bunch of mistakes. It had also changed hands in owners many times. So I think it was incubated by Kishore Biyani at Future Group. Then it got sold to Everstone.
Yeah.
Then Everstone sold it to Sequoia. The person who did the deal at Sequoia was Abhay Pandey, who left Sequoia and started A91.
Correct.
And so Sakshi took over, and Sakshi was a common board member. So we ended up buying Faces Canada. That has also done very well. It's grown 3x in 3 years from negative to positive EBITDA. And then we own a small content company in Bombay called Glamours. They produce very beautiful beauty-related content. So that's been the acquisition journey. And then we ended up building more brands using our own data. So to your question, at Purple, about 30% of our revenue comes from our own brands.
And the acquired businesses.
Wonderful. Acquired brands sell everywhere because they were always selling everywhere.
Correct.
So we sell on other marketplaces. And then the brands that we built on our own, because we created lots of demand for them, there is obviously huge demand in offline distribution as well. So we have an offline sales team that sells them. So overall, at the group level, we are about 50% revenue from own brands.
Wow.
Yes. And so very different retailer from what you would see anywhere in the world. There is no replica to us. There is no parallel. So, when you meet investors and they ask you, is there a similar company anywhere in the world? I don't know. The ambition is to continue to build, differentiation on assortment, because that's what our consumers will love. About a year or so ago, we started opening our stores. So we, using data, we looked at tons of data on where our consumers were coming from. In certain pin codes, what was our penetration at the household level?
How much of this is, give me a few counterintuitive examples. Which our viewers will kind of think that, because a lot of times people think that data just kind of validates hypotheses, but sometimes they just create very counterintuitive ones. Did you experience that at Purple?
No, so many a times, so I'll give you data on how we open stores. So we look at data at a pin code and a cluster level. There are many pin codes in the country where Purple's penetration is significantly higher than big FMCG brands' penetration at a household level is.
Wow.
So
we spoke about Kerala, for example.
Yeah, so Kerala, for example, AP and Telangana, for example, Tamil Nadu, for example, within Tamil Nadu, many cities. So, we do more orders in Trivandrum than we do in Bombay. Right? Imagine the penetration in Trivandrum. Yeah. You go to the remotest corner of Kerala, you ask 10 women, probably 8 of them would have our app, or 7 of them would have our app. And would have opened our app in the last
few
months.
And what has caused this? Is this effort leading to it? Or is it by chance it found a home there from a brand salience?
No, I think, because we were the underdog, we were the second player in the market, and by a big distance, we had to choose where to focus our energy on and where to choose our dollars on. So we chose to build it state by state. Get to massive market share in one state, then make a lot of money there, and then go to the next state, and then go to the next state, and then go to the next state. So we divide our states into cold, warm, and hot. Hot states are where almost 60-70% of the target addressable market has seen our ad in the last 3 months, has downloaded our app, or has visited our website.
That's a lot.
And therefore, a lot of products are already added to cart from these geographies. So the moment there is some event to purchase, you see massive conversion rate from these states. So conversion rate in Kerala would be 4x of our conversion rate in Delhi.
That's crazy.
Yeah, 4x. So if 100 people open the app in Kerala, maybe let's say if X people buy in Delhi, 4 to 5x people buy in Kerala. But that's how marketing is. I think that's how market share magic is.
Yeah.
So
I
think every brand's dharma is to get high market share.
Yeah.
There is no point being a very small market share company in a large country.
Completely.
I would prefer to be a very high market share company in a few states in India.
But that's how brands have been built in India also. Like India is a collection of many small, very uniquely different consumer segments.
Yeah, so in one of our brands, we ended up, we like to build very differentiated products because we believe that if the product is not differentiated, then the marketing dollars required to push that product are very high,
correct,
which we cannot afford. So we ended up creating this product. It's called Arab's Goodness Rosemary Water. I think that product has 90% market share in its category. We created the category, so there was nothing called hairspray as a category is big enough. And, I think it should, like, it does 170 to 200 crores a year.
That's wild.
And just one product.
I want to understand this.
I think maybe 50 crores in just Kerala.
Really? So I want to understand this. You have 1600 crores of revenue. How much of that is on the purple platform versus non-purple platform?
Yeah.
And of 1600 crores, you're saying 800 crores, like 50% comes from your own.
Yeah, a little account. Over 800 crores comes from our own
brand. So that's great. So for
and
our
like
viewers,
this is NSV. So this is net of discounts, taxes,
margins,
coupons, margins,
returns,
advertising spends to retailers and all of that stuff.
So this is invoice value. This is like real revenue.
Yeah, yeah.
An accountant will say this is good revenue.
This
is not GMV.
Yeah,
or,
yeah.
But you're right. So 800 crores of, in our categories, I can imagine this to be great gross margin. Right. So for our viewers, for example, retailers operate at far lesser margin because they're in the trading business. They buy and they sell.
Yeah.
So a lot of retailers, for example, will want to create their own brands, including offline retailers from DMart to now quick commerce players like Zepto, Blinkit. Everyone wants to build their own brand because you feel like gross margin is a lot higher, pricing comfort is a lot more. You're able to, the profit pool kind of stays there and you're able to give a better assortment. And of the 1600 crores, how much comes on the purple platform versus
So about 1200 crores on purple and SV.
That's really, that's crazy.
Yeah, and 400 crores outside of purple.
And the outside, mein, how much is online, how much is offline?
I think it'll be 50-50.
So roughly 200 crore ka online business on Flipkart, Amazon.
Yeah, which is largely Faces Canada and Carmeezy.
Faces Canada and Carmeezy. And
yeah.
Do you see these brands also growing on quick commerce also now?
Yeah. So Faces is growing very rapidly on quick commerce as well. Yeah. And probably also Carmeezy's. I don't oversee that business actively, so I don't know fully like in all details. But and then offline, two parts to that offline.
200 crore offline also significant.
Yeah, and very concentrated. So, and within 200 crores, I think a small part comes from our own stores. We have now, so we started with one store last year, Diwali. We now are 42 stores. I think we will open a lot more stores because we have found a profitable way to run our stores. And, we think we will be like a neighborhood beauty store. So please walk 500 meters from your home and you will find us wherever we are there.
And do you see your stores also playing a role as delivery locations? Like if people are buying, you want to do 20 minute delivery, 30 minute, because I think every retailer, whether it's, an online retailer like you to an offline retailer like DMart, I think quick commerce is now becoming a feature and not a product. Do you see your stores becoming an asset for
so
that?
So already doing it. Out of two stores in Calcutta, we have attempted deliveries over the last 1-2 months. We are able to deliver in an hour or so.
Lovely.
Not able to do it in 10 minutes yet. I think the ambition is to deliver in 30 minutes.
And that's going to be. And so as you open stores, that will be another element of it.
Yeah.
If someone's ordering in this PIN code, then the store can also be like a delivery location.
And the store manager will be incentivized to
deliver on time. Wow.
Yeah.
So this is
I think that business is a different business. I think taking control of delivery is something that we have not done in the past. We've relied on, we have done first mile and middle mile.
Mm.
We've never done last mile on our own. So this is the first time when we are doing last mile also on our own. So just managing a fleet of delivery boys, whether on your own payroll or through another logistics company, I think it will become a feature. I think every retailer will deliver in 30 minutes months from now.
Yeah, I think everyone needs it, right?
Yeah.
Very competitive. Paint the market for me, right? So, for example, in beauty, if you look at just beauty, if you look at personal care, you'll have companies like Mamaearth, you'll have, new entrants, you have Minimalist, you have Foxtail that's becoming big, etc. You compete with those guys on your platform.
We also sell them a lot.
Correct. Yeah. They are your brand also and you compete with them also. In makeup, this is a category that I'm more interested in. Clearly, I'm not a consumer firsthand. And also, we don't participate in these categories very far away. We do participate in personal care a lot more, and especially feminine hygiene. But beauty and makeup is a like it's a category I struggle to understand, right? So I think Faces Canada, for example, good brand, good product, but kind of went up and down, changed hands. Maybe it's a structural issue more than a brand issue. Then we have brands like Sugar that are clearly very out there, very bold, young. Vinita is a very public founder. Then you had Good Glam or My Glam, which kind of had this meteoric rise in 2021, where everyone just thought that this is like the next L'Oreal of India, and then kind of has sputtered to you know, kind of find its own space. And a lot of local brands also in the space. Then you have kind of legacy players like Lakme and Maybelline and so on. And so it's very different from other categories, right? Like you've seen a lot of activity, but it's kind of been up and down. How do you see the market?
Yeah, the largest beauty and personal care player in the country is HUL. I think between hair, skin, makeup and bath and body, their revenues will be about 20,000 crores.
Correct. This includes Fair and Lovely and Pond.
It includes Pears and Dove and Lakme as well.
Correct.
Then I think the second largest would be now, I think, Nykaa. Although it's a retailer and not own brands so much.
How much is Nykaa split between own brands versus...
I don't know the exact numbers, but perhaps 15% own brands or 20% own brands.
So they're still a more like traditional retailer. And...
But I think building very strong brands. So, you know, they created Nykaa Cosmetics. They also created K-Beauty.
Yeah, with Katrina.
They bought Dot & Key. Mm-hmm. They also bought Earth Rhythm.
Yeah.
So I think on the brand side, I think L'Oreal would probably be the next largest player. Probably P&G would also come close to it. Wreck-It.
Yeah.
So all the old school guys are all there.
Yeah.
Legacy folks.
But that's more personal care than it is makeup. And
but L'Oreal is a lot of makeup. So correct. Maybelline is makeup.
Maybelline.
And Lakme is makeup.
Correct.
I think after Lakme and Maybelline, my sense is there are two or three brands which are around exactly the same size. So there is Faces Canada. I think there is Color Bar.
Yes. Color Bar again is a more bootstrap traditional Delhi-based company, right?
And offline.
Offline.
A lot of offline. I think Rene.
Yeah. Much newer.
And perhaps Sugar. I think all these are like almost same size.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought... So they're all in the 400, 500 crore?
Yeah, they're all in the 300 to 400 crore range.
Wow.
And then you have like a smaller player. So historically, there was Blue Heaven, which played at the really mass price. Then you have many other bootstrapped companies which are doing extremely well in makeup. You know, I'm surprised and amazed to see their success. So most of them are based in Delhi. They usually import products from China and sell. But there is Swiss Beauty, there is Mars Cosmetics, outstanding, very good quality products. I think very true pricing, low discounting. So kind of brands that I like because...
Do you think the consumer is like kind of very trial friendly? Like they flirt around, they try multiple things, the bar on... With men, for example, very difficult to engage, very easy to please. So it's very hard to get their attention because they just don't like changing a shaving foam or changing a razor or changing a deodorant, right?
Yeah.
But once you're in the bathroom and you've engaged them and you're in the bathroom, they stick to you if there's a problem as well. I've always felt like with our women's products, I've always felt like it's easy to get them to engage because with content.
But it's difficult to retain.
Damn hard to retain.
Yeah. I think, you know, I had heard somebody tell me this. I don't know if it's true, but like on an average, Olay, which is one of the most successful skincare brands globally, like a woman would buy 1.7 bottles a year only. So if you are a skincare brand and you're selling 3 bottles a year per consumer, I think you're doing damn good. So I agree with you that, you know, it's easier to get them. It's harder to retain. But I'm sure if somebody buys a Bombay Shaving Company razor, let's say Sensi Bio.
Yeah, Sensi Smart. Sensi
Smart, yeah. I'm sure they will keep buying cartridges, like 12 cartridges a year or something.
Yeah. So now have backup.
Maybe the average would be lower because some people will use their cartridges for much longer period than they should be used for. But that's what India is for you. But you're right. It is a category which is more trials, more flirtatious, you know, like trying new things. There's lots of news in the category always. So. You know, there's a lot of new news and, you know, you keep trying new things.
I had two questions for you. I think one is, and you brought up the point on...
But we are very careful, I'll tell you. I don't want to build a trends business. You know, I think there was
That's
never that... because that is like building a fashion business, which I never wanted to build.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's very hard to make money as a fashion retailer because you have to be always on your toes every season. I think building a LTV business on same product is like a much better business to build for most people. Of course, there are many successful fashion retailers as well, but
their agility is the moat. Your retention is the moat.
I think agility is the moat and discipline is the moat. Correct. You know, like, zyada inventory nahi kharidna hai kyunki agar atak gaya to fir discount karke bechna padega. Hamare case mein, I think data is the moat. We pick up products which we think we can make really big.
Yeah.
Usually the ambition is to make almost 100 crores a year on Purple on a product, if possible, and then maybe 300-400 crores can come from outside.
That's the thing, right? Even for us, for example, we have 6 or 7 products which are at least 25 crores. 2 or 3 of them have become 50 crore products.
Nice.
And we believe the strategic value of the asset, which is our company, comes from SKUs that are 100 crores.
Yeah.
Right. So can we build a shaving foam that's 100 crores?
Hmm.
Can we build a trimmer that's 100 crores? Like one SKU which is 100 crores. I think that's that can, amalgamation creates like a
lot. Can you build Sensi Smart as 100 crores?
100 crores. Absolutely the ambition.
I think you can. It's just about discipline and focus. It's harder to do in the short term.
Yeah.
But I think everything that's a little bit of pain in the short term is actually always the right choice.
Yeah.
Because longer term, it's like much lesser pain in life.
Yeah. You build the foundations for long term if you're able to create pain in the short term, which means for founders who are watching also, which means difficult decisions like not launching more products. We went through this, man. We were at 1.350 SKUs.
Oh, wow.
Crazy. We had beard. Beard was a trend.
Yeah, of course, trend in India, right?
It took off and then we kind of participated. We came back. Then we went into hair for a while. We went into, Mama Earth showed us that if you like launch more and more products, you can kind of build a more assortment business.
Yeah.
But we were not able to find depth in those subcategories. So
but you can only sell assortment business online.
Yeah.
And I don't think you will make too much money on assortment business.
Yeah.
We have to keep and you cannot money. Sell assortment business offline any which ways.
Yeah. So it's a struggle. I agree. So for us, we were like, okay, fine. We have to become super restrictive, which then forces us to define who we are and what we mean for the consumer.
Yeah.
Then brought us, and then do stuff which kind of aligns with that. So for example, in 2020, we had hair oils, beard care. We had, razor, shaving cream, shaving foams. We had a bunch of things which were soaps, body washes, like men's grooming, right? Yes. And then we realized the category depth hai nahi isme. Like body wash for men is not a subcategory that is worth, even if you take 25% market share, it's not worth building it. Because aadmi jaake, he's going to the bathroom and using the soap or the body wash that his
like
wife
there.
Or his mom has bought, right? So we're like, okay, cool. In COVID, but COVID got us to like really think hard about who we are. And we realized that where consumers trust us on razors and, is on hair removal. So we said, okay, fine, we're not a men's grooming business. We are a hair removal and hair care hygiene business, which gives delightful products at good prices for consumers who want to remove hair from any part of their body. So shaving your head like me, or a clean shaven face, or a beard trim, or a woman who wants a part-time, like a small hair, or razor on the go, to trimmers, which made us take some very difficult calls. Launching trimmers as a category was something, as a founder, I just did not want to do. Lower gross margin, repeat kam hai, FMCG nahi hai, don't sell in stores.
Appliances.
Like, kaun karega yaar isme, after sales service. Yeah. Deepak was hellbent. Ki boss, the first product a man is buying at the age of 14 or 15 is now a trimmer. And wo 400 rupay ka khareed raha hai. Razor wo 20 rupay ka khareedega. We'll get 20 times the value 3 years before the razor is purchased. We have to make this big. Then we launched our women's hair removal brand because we're now hair removal. So we can't just ignore half the population.
Yeah.
We had no DNA of a woman's business.
Yeah.
So Siddha joined us at that time. So suddenly, when we realized we have to restrict and kind of go deep, that's when our strategic choices also changed. And I think for us, COVID was very good for us to like step back and really evaluate whether this worked for us.
But if you think, like real wealth gets created where somebody thinks about something for a very long period of time and acts in a day, right? Rather than acting every day, but also thinking only for a day.
Yeah.
So, I like
it's a very good way to put it, yeah.
So, look, I mean, very clearly, like Warren Buffett, like you probably analyze companies for 2 years and then just one day act and say, let's put $10 billion.
Yeah. Right?
So, I don't think he wakes up every day and says, aaj kya action lena hai.
Correct.
So, I think this hustle culture is fine. I don't agree to fail fast, you know. I just feel like research karke kaam kar lo yaar aaram se. Like, you know, there is no, like, opportunities are not going away tomorrow. They are always going to be there. It's just best to research well, you know, do as much research as possible, avoid as many biases as possible. So I'll give you an example of how we analyze data now. So we've been at the forefront of data and machine learning and AI since 2016, right? In 2016, we used to call it machine learning and big data. Now we call it AI, but practically doing more or less same things, but today do at much larger scale and do it at much lower cost. So, you know, we've trained our computer to understand beauty how human beings like I or you would understand in every language. So today, computer can watch a video on YouTube in any language, read all the comments in any language, let's say Telugu, understand the nuance of that comment to say that did somebody make a mistake in that video or not, and understand hair fall in all languages possible.
Wow.
And therefore try to give you a significantly more holistic picture of what is happening on Google, what's happening on Purple, what's happening on YouTube, what's happening on Instagram, what's happening on TikTok, what's happening in Korea, what's happening in Japan, US and India, right? So initially it started by utilizing some amounts of data, perhaps only in English and text data. Today that has gone on to analyzing any kind of data. So, you know, so I think my sense is, initially, AI permeated our company around the data side, around recommendations, around analyzing what consumers were looking for, and, you know, helping us create right content with right content creators, almost like a machine, right? I think in 2 years from now, or maybe a year from now, I think AI will permeate rest of the org. So today, you know, product teams are already using AI to write PRDs, tech teams are using AI to write code, and their efficiency probably is already up 2x or 3x. What this enables you to do is it enables you to pick up big projects that you would have otherwise avoided to pick.
Yeah.
You know, like, ye kaam karne mein to 6 mahina lagega, to isko rehne hi dete hain, you know, isko thoda ek ek mahina karke push karte jate hain, ab aisa nahi hota hai. So, I think, you know, supply chain will become AI first. Finance teams will become AI first, because I can practically read all invoices on my own. Like, computer can read it, man. It's OCR. Like, so I think, you know, you will see beautiful. I think AI will also remove a lot of bias from our decision making. We all have recency bias. I honestly don't remember what document I wrote 2 years ago on a specific topic, like how to increase LTV of your customers. But, you know, like, just go through your documents, just add it to an AI tool, and it'll start analyzing everything you wrote over the last 6 years. And it'll tell you whether you've attempted some of those ideas or not. Why have you not attempted it? Should you attempt them? I just think use of AI will permeate the org in the next 6 to 12 months.
And massive unlocks.
And massive unlocks on efficiency.
Agree.
And massive unlocks on ambition. You know, like, ab basic kaam karne ke liye time hi nahi jayega. You know, like, khud hi ho jayega sabka. Like, I remember, like, my co-founder did this a couple of days ago, and he's not my tech co-founder. Okay? So, Rahul, what he did is he uploaded a few files on I think, Notebook LM, and sent me an audio, and, you know, that audio was a conversation between two people. I don't know exactly kya kiya hai usne abhi, because I haven't spoken to him. He sent me an audio, and it seemed like a conversation between two people, a man and a woman.
Uh-huh.
And the conversation was basically the entire content we had written in those Word docs and Excel sheets that were just uploaded to Notebook. And it felt like it's like a live conversation happening between two people when it was not. Right? It was just unbelievable. Then I did that, and I realized this is possible. Now I can query that and figure out, like, ask questions, get answers. So look, I mean, this is how it's going to be. Like, I think computer's ability to understand natural language processing has just gone through the roof.
Yeah. And it's scarily improving.
I wouldn't call it scarily. I just think there is joy in this. You know, it makes a normal human being like me or anybody else a Superman.
Yeah.
Because it just like supercharges your capability like you never thought you could do that. Yeah. So, very excited about it.
I agree completely.
Now, I want to ask you the two questions I want to ask you. One is, if you are going to grow 20-25% year on year, you're basically going to double every 3-4 years.
Yeah.
So, you're going to go from a 1600 crore company to, let's say, you know, 6,000 to 8,000 crores in revenue over the next 10-year period,
right,
which is your vision. And that's a very sizable business. Mm-hmm. And I have two questions. One is there an end game at all? Mm-hmm. Or is this like a changing goalpost, which is also fine? Because most great companies are built over decades, if not centuries. The second question I have is kind of more around the make of beauty in terms of influence on consumers, which earlier was more advertisement of fashion and, you know, kind of film stars and stuff like that, which is now kind of almost becoming a lot more democratized with Katrina Kaif, for example, but a lot more influencer driven. You're seeing it happen in the West a lot. So there is the make of the business or the way influence on purchasing is going to happen, in my view, might change quite drastically over this 10-year period. So how do you do that? So two questions, like, what's the goalpost? Is it moving at all? How do you see this business evolving at an industry level?
You know, I'll tell you. From a goalpost point of view, look, it's a moving goalpost. There is no end game.
The best kinds.
Uh-huh. Sorry?
Those are the best kinds of goalposts.
I hope so. There is no end game. I think there is only increased ambition every 3-4 years. So, today the ambition is, can we become the biggest beauty company in India in, let's say, 13 to 15 years from now? I am committing another 20 years to Purple. If possible, then we'll reevaluate this commitment after 20 years. I am okay to do another 20 years also, if health permits at that point in time. I think today the ambition is, we have great tech capabilities and data and AI capabilities. Can we use those to help more people than just helping ourselves? We are also in the process of setting up a state-of-the-art manufacturing company, which will make products for us. It will have state-of-the-art equipment that's not there with any contract manufacturer in India. So the idea is, can you make for the world at some point in time?
You see, a lot of companies doing that, by the way. You're now the third person in a week.
Is it?
Who has said we want to make in India. Like from cookware, like knives and forks and pressure cookers, to shoes.
Yeah.
We spoke about...
maybe it's naivety,
Like, I think it's also government, right? I think government plus the way the world is. I think the way the world is, people are now becoming more self-dependent.
Yeah. Maybe it has naivety also. Like maybe we think we can do it, but...
We'll
never know unless we try. I think we have the wherewithal to try it today.
Yeah.
I think we also have the talent to do it. Some of the people who work at Purple have spent 10, 15, 20 years at, large FMCG companies. And so they have built many large factories and run them very efficiently over long periods of time. So, so let's see how it plays out. But I think whenever I travel to China, I feel like, why can't we do this thing in India?
I completely agree.
Yeah. Whenever I travel to Korea, I feel like, why can't we do it? We just don't do it, So I think the plan is to invest in R&D capabilities and the plan is to invest in manufacturing and do it on our own and, use whatever help we can get from outside. So, if we can get technical help to expedite our rollout, great. If we can't get it, then maybe it'll take us 6 more months and we'll do it irrespectively. So quite confident. I do think there are some skills missing in India and we will have to get the world to coach us. But, it's a moving goalpost. I think this is, we never thought we would come this far also when we started, like I mentioned earlier. Now that we have this beautiful opportunity in front of us, from 50 lakhs of cash balance in 2017 to 500 crores of cash balance in the bank today, a profitable company, looking to now tighten the noose on working capital also and become cash flow break even So, you know, I think there is lots that's falling into place. And I think, like you probably mentioned earlier, I think because we've been performing reasonably well for last 13 years, we have good credibility with capital markets also. So I think raising capital is not extremely difficult. I wouldn't say it's cakewalk, but I think there's lots of credibility.
Become more predictable, I think, as you get more.
Also, I think a lot of existing investors, barring the latest ones that came, you know, have all made money. So, like we just did 1,350 crores of secondary.
That's crazy.
So, clearly that money has been paid to investors and new investors have come on board. So, so look, there is credibility. I think we have that leverage. So, we have leverage of capital. We, of course, have leverage of people. Because we have this team which has been working with us for a long period of time and they can independently lead companies. And I also think we have the leverage of technology and social media. So, you know, we have all kinds of leverage possible to dream much larger than what we have dreamt in the past. And hence, you know, like, I think we should do it. We will make an honest attempt at doing it. You know, we'll see whether we are able to do it or not. So that's the first answer.
IPO?
Look, that for sure we have to because...
How do investors make money? I agree.
Look, like investors have to sell at after a certain time period. And I think once the company becomes really large then and you want Indian capital, then, you know, public markets are the best way to access it. And I think a bunch of people have shown it. So like whether it's Zomato from Gurgaon or Policy Bazaar or...
Swiggy now.
Swiggy or First Cry in Pune... So, look, a lot of successful IPOs, I would say, super successful IPOs in my view. A lot of credibility that new startups have built in the public market. So, I'm sure everybody is bullish on Zomato and Swiggy and Policy Bazaar and First Cry. So, so yes, IPO definitely. Timelines, maybe 2 years, maybe 2.5 years.
No hurry actually on this.
Right? There is no hurry. Yeah, there is no hurry. And I think...
It will probably be defined by the fund cycles of your latest investors, I guess.
Yeah. What was your second question?
My second question was, how do you see the industry evolving from a beauty, makeup, consumer standpoint? Do you think influencers, creators,
do you think
the democratization of influence is going to happen? Because I see that happening in bits and parts with our industry. I see it happening in a huge way outside the country. Where,
like, no, I think it'll happen at breakneck speed. So, So, Purple is one of the largest co-producers of content in vernacular language in the country, in the beauty space. We might be the largest, I'm just saying, because I don't know the numbers, so I'm just calling it one of the largest. Like, we do views north of hundreds of million a month. So, we have seen the power of social media, we've seen the power of content creation and honest storytelling rather than ads. And honest celebrity or influencer led brands have also started to do well. So, I think KY Katrina is doing very well.
Yeah.
I think my daughter is 9 years old, and at home we were talking about lip balms from Hyphen. And my daughter overheard me and she said, Papa, is that brand from Kriti Sanon?
Yeah.
Right? So, you know, she must have seen it in some magazine or something. So, look, it's going to happen. It may have succeeded in a moderate way in the past, but I think, but I'm not specifically referring to celebrities. I just think democratization of influence has already happened.
Yeah. And we continue, I agree.
Yeah, it's like I was listening to the audio version of the documents that we had created yesterday. And one of the things we had written down 2 years ago is that the repeat purchase behavior of consumers who came influenced by a content creator was significantly higher than many other sources of acquisition.
So it's played out that way.
Yeah, it's played out. And we wrote this 2-3 years ago, not today. I was just listening to that conversation created by AI yesterday, but basically we had uploaded a bunch of documents and created this conversation between a man and a woman. And coincidentally, I was just listening to it yesterday, but I think there is massive influence that is already getting created. I think barbershop creates massive influence. Yeah. I think Nikhil Kamath's podcast have massive influence. So I think content creators have massive influence over
even their, purchasing, not just
even purchasing, not just other ways, and lots of honest content creators have massive amount of influence.
How was the journey? The 13 years you started off by talking about being staying humble, being hungry all the time. To how much have you raised in Lambai? I wanted to ask you that question. How much? What's the total amount? I remember one year where you had like 3 funding rounds back to back to back.
We had
Sunish and Nishant on the podcast last season.
Yes,
and they speak so highly of their portfolio, which look at top of mind, top of list is you guys. But how much have you guys raised? Okay.
I think primary capital raised would have been now close to 1,500 crores.
Wow.
And we have returned, I think, 2,000 crores already to our investors.
Incredible.
I think so. Like, mota moti mujhe main calculation kar raha tha to utna hi aa raha tha.
That's great currency and liquidity for investors also.
Even angel investors have made lots of money.
I can imagine. I can imagine. Angel investors would have invested like a 10, 15, 20 crore valuation.
Yeah, they came at...
if they have stayed the course and not sold right now...
So most of them have stayed the course also. Like they're still there. They've only partly sold. But...
Nikhil, I'm sure. Nikhil is the kind of person who will stay and kind of...
Yeah, but many like him have just stayed the course. And I think they've been very helpful in the early days also. Like, I just don't know what belief they had in us. Like, I wouldn't have that belief on myself that probably some of those guys displayed in us. So I'm really thankful. And I think, again, luck played its part then. Like, I remember in 2014, second half, where we were running out of money. I think there were 3 investors. You know, what did they do?
Mm.
One investor gave me a OD against his securities. Okay. So I used to borrow money for my own expenses. I wasn't withdrawing a salary then. Another investor loaned us money, not knowing whether it'll come back or not, having lost another loan in another company recently in those days.
These are all individuals.
Individuals, funny. Yeah.
That's crazy.
And man, I think Bloom did an amazing thing. So Bloom, I think, invested their fees, the GP fees amount also in us to support us in the second half of 2014. And I think probably we paid the karma back. So when we did these 3 acquisitions...
They did not know that, at that time.
And likewise, we didn't know when we were doing these acquisitions that we were just wiring money before the acquisitions were even happening, because we had to support these 3 companies also. So in a way, I think we have met very nice people along the way, like, to be honest. Like, it is very hard to support a company that's running out of capital.
I can't imagine. I agree completely.
With personal checks. But, three of them.
Who are these three people? You should name them.
No, of course. So, Bloom, I've mentioned.
Karthik and Sanjay.
Yeah. And Ashish Fafadia, who's on our board since 2013. There is a gentleman, they don't like to be named.
Yeah.
Like, usually, I don't name them because they've told me not to name. But one gentleman lives in London.
He's a banker. He's a
look. I mean, I think when he invested in us, I think he had more or less retired. He was probably 60 years old. Now he's 73, I think. He's super fit. And the other one runs his own VC fund now. And in those days, used to be a banker. So, I just think they've been overtly nice to us.
Yeah, sometimes. Sometimes people take gut calls on these things. Like, even when the data is kind of in the contrary, company running out of cash, markets look this thing. I've just lost this loan money given to another company. This is probably write off. But they just sometimes do things which are extraordinary.
I think the question they used to ask us is, why are you guys not quitting? And I never had an answer. I just said, thoda aur fight mar lete, 3 mahine aur fight marte hain, 6 mahine aur fight marte hain.
You also, I'm sure you displayed intrinsics that gave them confidence that A, you will either allocate the
capital. Perhaps, but I wasn't watching myself, so I don't know. Like, they would be better positioned to answer.
What has changed in you over the last 13 years? You've gotten more experience in older, but as a person, I think the founder's journey is not the easiest one.
I think 2-3 things have stayed, have happened. I don't know whether they have changed or not. I think the first one is I have become calmer. I used to be this person like, you know, tumse nahi ho raha hai to main jaake kar deta hu, and tumse ho kyun nahi raha hai types. I used to get agitated very quickly in early days. I am much calmer today, significantly calmer than I used to be earlier. I still have a long way to go, but I am that person today. I've changed. I think second, I feel that the second thing I strongly feel about is I think co-founders with unbelievable amount of trust and complementary skills is like the biggest blessing we've had. So, you know, I am glad that I have two co-founders and another 6 to 10 people who almost behave like co-founders today. So I think just having diversity of opinion at the table with lots of trust where, you know, sometimes I'm asked to take a call where data is not fully like baked in. So it's like you're taking a call without too much data. But then, you know, everybody has to commit even if they disagree to it because they are also looking at half data. I'm looking at half data. So I think just the trust and relationship with the founders has been outstanding. It continues to be very good. We will like to take everybody along and you know, spend as much time convincing as possible. I don't think one person can call the shots. I think my relationship with investors has become better. I understand what their needs in lives are. So they need to exit at a certain point in time. So I kind of work 1 or 2 years prior to that to make sure that the exit is or partial exits are super smooth. I had not thought that this would be my job way back in 2012. I think... I'm significantly better at HR today than I was in 2012. And, you know, Purple is significantly better at using technology and data and AI than, you know, we were even 3 years ago. So, bunch of changes. I think some things don't change, but I think a few things have changed.
And you, what keeps you up at night today when it comes to running the company as a founder?
You know, there are many nights where I sleep very late. It's not great for health, but I just can't sleep because there is something that I'm thinking and, you know, like it's not letting me sleep. I think some nights I don't sleep early because I'm just thinking of ambitions. So, you know, ye bhi karna hai aur ye bhi karna hai. Lekin har cheez ko karne ka ek sahi time hoega. So, you know, just try to control yourself, like don't stretch yourself too thin. I don't think I'm very good at multitasking, perhaps like you are. So, you know, you're doing 2-3 things parallelly. I don't think I can do it, but I have the same hunger. So I also want to do them, but, you know, like do it in a little bit more controlled manner and more gradual manner. So yeah, look, ambition keeps you awake. Like those are dreams that keep you awake. I think nothing else. I think we have a great team. I think that team can run the show without me being there in office for like 45 days on the trot also. So I think nothing else. I don't think too much on competition. Like I have never discussed competition in the last few months at office. Because I just think competition is different from who we are. So let us just stay focused on who our customer is. So competition doesn't bother me at all. In fact, it just nudges you to be better and better and better. But I think we are fundamentally a very different company. Like I think each person should know what their strengths are, how they are better at doing something uniquely, and just go after it with full leverage. Like for example, I'm telling you that our stores are like going to be neighborhood beauty stores, but air conditioned, great experience inside. But don't expect them to be Nike stores. Yeah. You know, like I don't sell to that audience. So, I think if you know what you're really good at uniquely, you just go after it with full might. You know, without distraction of saying, लेकिन मुझे तो वो अच्छा लगता है पर्सनली, क्योंकि यू नो मे बी आई बिलोंग टू दैट इनकम स्ट्रेटा, बट लाइक यू हैव टू जस्ट फोकस, स्टे फोकस्ड ऑन हु यू आर बिल्डिंग फॉर एंड वॉट इज राइट फॉर देम, एंड आर यू यूनिकली वेल पोजिशन टू बिल्ड दैट ब्रांड, बिल्ड दैट कंपनी और नॉट, एंड जस्ट गो आफ्टर इट विद फुल लेवरेज. एंड टुडे वी हैव ऑल द लेवरेज पॉसिबल, वी हैव लेवरेज ऑफ पीपल, लेवरेज ऑफ कैपिटल, एंड वी हैव लेवरेज ऑफ टेक्नोलॉजी.
Incredible. No, I keep try to draw parallels for us to learn from also, right? And you know, we are very competition focused. Okay. We are watching market share numbers by retail environment constantly.
Mm.
Like how do we? Because maybe because success is defined by our competition because of 120 years of success, right? It's not like it's a creation game and everyone's participating. It is one North Star. So for that, like for example, when you entered our office and you saw, like really like kind of bold and out there communication.
Yeah.
It comes from, of course, you know, personality of the leadership team and founders and so on. But more from, I think, that our game is a little different.
You get access to data, market share data also. We don't get access to that any which ways. So we have to like derive market share data. So it's like, okay.
We derive market share data. Okay. We get it through conversations with category managers. It's also
a
public company.
But I have realized that we might not win we might not become large at the expense of somebody else, you know?
Correct.
Or at least at the expense of the most probable competitor that we might think. And hence, you know, not been so competition. Like, it's always been innovation focused. Sometimes too much innovation focused also, and like sometimes, like, you know, slipped a little bit on execution also in the past. But I don't think it's been competition focused, because we can't do what they do, and they can't do what we do really well. So it's best that we stay focused on what we do really well and, you know, hit it out of the park.
Yeah, especially Shantanu said that. He said, just because you've built a brand doesn't mean that you can sell any product in the world. You built a brand for a particular set of products.
Yes.
Consumers are too smart.
Yeah.
You move the category or you move the use case.
They won't buy.
They won't buy.
Yeah.
However good your brand is.
Yeah.
Huh? However good the brand
is.
Yeah,
however good.
So I think that's phenomenal. Yeah. Before we let you go, Manish, I think this has been a phenomenal conversation. I think there's so much to learn. For me, I think, like you asked me, like Barbershop, of course, is a great, great marketing engine and, you know, kind of creates Bombay Shaving Company's brand equity slowly and steadily, but very, very surely.
Yeah.
But for me, I just have the vantage point of sitting and learning, because everything that you've told me today will flow into the organization in meaningful ways, in different reviews, in the way we think about our customers, in the way we think about retail, etc. And I think that's what I learn a lot. And we have viewers who are kind of also like kind of think of this as a place where they derive not only inspiration and like nudges, but also true education and learnings, which are very real and based in real life experiences. But before we let you go, if you were to give one final piece of advice to anyone who's going to be a founder or is a new founder, or is trying to do something entrepreneurial in their own way, whatever that may be, what would that be?
You know, I think this is how I think. So it's a little bit of a biased advice. So one advice is just go for it. You know, like, don't hold yourself back, because the world needs more and more people to innovate. It doesn't need too many people to follow.
Mm.
So, you know, I wish there were 3, 4, 5x the number of entrepreneurs in India than there are today. So I think that's a truly a great way for wealth creation for society and delivering greater value to your consumers. But personal advice I would say is, you know, build responsibly. I think I have seen too many companies go up and then go down because of bad choices of usage of capital. Maybe at that point in time, that was the flavor of the season. Like, for example, in 2021, when we were raising capital from, we raised capital from Kedara Capital and Premji, so Sunish and Nishant and Anant. You know, in that year, it was a super hype year of capital raising. I think a couple of funds approached us and said, so we raised $110 million between these two folks. So I think I'll probably correct. I think the amount of primary capital we've raised is lesser. I think it'll be closer to 1,000 crores then. But when we were raising capital from Kedara and Premji, we had a couple of other large funds approach us to say, hey, we will give you significantly more money than you are raising. Can you go ahead and buy 3 or 4 brands, right? over the next 2 years. And I think Thrasio was a play in that year in the US.
Yeah.
And somehow I couldn't understand that, are you buying brands or are you buying labels, which, because you were paying like low multiples on them any which ways, but you were trading at high multiples.
Yeah.
So I just couldn't, like, you know, so I just declined those conversations because I just felt, look, I don't align with this. I feel like building one brand is so hard. And I didn't have the people leverage in 2021 to build 7 or 8 brands at, like, all together.
Yeah.
Like, you know, maybe an HUL can do it. Maybe a PNG can do it because they have so much intellectual capital, you know. So I declined it. I think it turned out to be a great decision way back in 2021. It is always hard to decline significantly more capital coming your way. But look, I think I just couldn't make sense out of that conversation. So
good on you, man. Like
yeah.
This played out.
Like, exactly, you know, from like 100 million is what we raised, 110 million. We had offers of like verbal offers of like 200 million to like almost a billion over many few years, saying, let's go ahead and buy a brand. So
are you serious?
Yeah. And our valuation was 500 million. So anyways, raising significantly more money would have just diluted us.
Yeah.
But there was no fun in buying. And I also don't think great brands in India sell so easily.
Yeah.
Because they also know that these are cash cows for them. So so look, I politely refused those conversations. So I think build responsibly from a capital point of view, because finally you have to return a significant multiple on that capital. Build responsibly from an employee's point of view. You know, like, what's the point in losing your hair? Or, like, you know, just grow gradually and make money, you know, like, don't fail fast, like, do a lot of research and win.
Yeah.
I think build responsibly from an environment point of view, you know, because anyways, we are going to leave Earth in significantly worse off state than we inherited it in. So, you know, like, just don't screw it up too much. I think build responsibly from a, from partner's point of view, you know, like, if some partner needs your help, just extend that help to them. Be nice to them. Be transparent to them as much as possible. I just think the you know, world has very interesting ways of giving this karma back to you, and you do very well in life.
Okay.
So we've been beneficiaries of it. And so, like, you know, I think build responsibly is what I would say, is how I would do it. You know, like, to each his own, maybe different people would do it differently.
Amazing. Manish, thank you so much. I think you represented Suyash, Rahul, and the larger Purple team. I think the story which all of you have built together, and I think it's still very early. I think you guys will go on to do amazing work, but it's phenomenally inspiring. And I think you live, and I think you are the values that Purple is also. I think in the conversation, it's very obvious what the characterization and culture of your company is. So my best wishes to you. Of course, we will compete in some categories. mostly, I think if we are able to build out the ecosystem in our own ways, create more entrepreneurs, create more businesses, more brands. And my view is, look, I think you spoke about China. China has an export surplus of upwards of $1 trillion.
Wow.
We have an export, you know, a deficit of 50 billion.
So yeah.
The only way, and we keep talking about rupees falling and markets are tanking, and, you know, are we close? What's the slowdown about? I think the core reason is consumption and demand is, and liquidity crunch is there. And the only way we can kind of maximize exports is by making more stuff. Good that the rupee is weaker, so we can kind of make more stuff cheaper for other people. But my broader view is that people have to, like, I'm so happy to see a factory being built out, and more people should do that. So thank you for doing what you do. And thank you for spending time with us and being so generous.
No, thank you. And, you know, lovely being here, and great meeting your team as well.
Yeah.
You know, and all the best to the barbershop journey and the Bombay shaving journey and the Bombay journey.
Thank you so much.